Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, upon whom the church is founded, and after whom the church is named, dear fellow redeemed. Last Sunday, we heard a portion of the Apostle Paul's first recorded sermon that he preached in Antioch in Pisidia, that was in Asia Minor, the beginning of his first missionary journey. Well, our text this morning speaks of another Antioch, a completely different city. This one is in Antioch in Syria, which is where Paul and Barnabas were before they started their first missionary journey. And our text tells us this morning that it was in this city, in Antioch in Syria, where believers in Jesus were first called Christians. What a marvelous name to carry and to bear. What a privilege for us to be named after our Lord and Savior. What a responsibility it is to carry that name. And what better place for believers in Jesus to be first called Christians than in the church in Antioch? For as our question this morning for our theme tells us, Antioch was a model Christian congregation. Our text takes place after the great persecution took place in Jerusalem, after the stoning of Stephen. In the first verse of our text, we're told that many of these Jewish Christians fled Jerusalem and went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and north to the northern city of Syria in the city of Antioch. At first, these converted Christian believers spoke about Jesus Christ only to fellow Jews, that Jesus had died and risen again. But then our text says that some men from Cyrene and Cyprus began to speak with the Hellenists, and Hellenists would be the Gentiles, and told them about Jesus too. To what effect? Our text says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Now these were true Gentiles. These were not proselytes, like last Sunday we heard when Paul went to Antioch and Pisidia and spoke in the synagogue. There were some proselytes, Gentiles who had converted to Judaism and knew all about the Messiah. Didn't know who the Messiah was, but they knew about Messiah and about Jehovah God. Now, these were like the ones that came a week later when Paul preached the gospel and the whole city turned out. These are pagans, unbelievers, people that probably worship the Greek and Roman mythological gods and goddesses had no idea about Jehovah, the Messiah. Probably for the first time we're told there's one God in this world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's one way to salvation, and that's alone through Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. Well, as Christianity and the gospel spread from one country to another, it broke down those barriers, those ethnic barriers that were between the Jews, God's originally chosen people, and the rest of the world. And so great was the work in Antioch that the congregation in Jerusalem said they need help up there. So they sent a very faithful man, a man filled with the Spirit, named Barnabas, to go up to Antioch to help with the evangelizing of the city. Well, when he got there, he found that it was so busy that he needed help too. So he went and sought out Saul, who was still living in his hometown in Tarsus. It had now been 10 years since Saul had been converted. For 10 years, Saul was waiting for the Lord to call him into the public apostolic ministry. And now it was about done. His preparation was all ready, and the Lord now was calling to him, go, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the church in Antioch. Two wonderful things we see about Paul. First of all, his patience. Remember how he was converted? Riding to Damascus, knocked off his horse, blinded. And then the Lord said to Ananias, he's going to be my chosen instrument to preach to Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And then for a couple of years, Saul at that time was with the Lord in the desert. But then he spent 10 years building tents, waiting for the Lord to call him to be an apostle. We also see his eagerness, his zeal. As soon as Barnabas said, come with me, and called him, he jumped in. And he and Barnabas spent a whole year teaching and encouraging the people in the church of Antioch. What a marvelous time that was. It's there, in that congregation, that we're told in our text, that believers were first called Christians. Remember what they were called before? They were called people of the way. Now they're called Christians. Christians. Those whose entire hope of salvation rests upon the power of Christ's death and resurrection. Christians who are led to confess their sins, repent of their sins, lay it upon Jesus Christ, and believe the only way for forgiveness and salvation is through Jesus' death and resurrection. Christians who are led to self-denial, but also boldly profess and proclaim Jesus to an ungodly world. So my question is, those definitions I just gave you of Christians, do they apply to you? Do they apply to me? Does this congregation in Antioch apply to us? And that's the question that we asked this morning in our sermon theme. Are we a model congregation, a model Christian congregation, like Antioch? Let's take a look at another look at what Antioch was like. And there's three things that we find out. One, it was a congregation with good news for all people. In the first verse of our text, we're told the message of Jesus' resurrection was proclaimed to both Jews and Gentiles alike. This message of Christ crucified and risen again was the foundation stood upon which this congregation was built. And this message was not told just to a select few. It was proclaimed to everybody. Well, our congregation was established a little bit less than 50 years ago for that same purpose, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen again to all people. Not man-made doctrines, not synodical decrees, not church ordinances, but the good news of the whole gospel And by God's grace, that still is being done. But is it being carried out to all people? Are we as a Christian congregation bringing that saving message to everybody? Or are we being selective in whom we talk to about Jesus? Am I, as your called pastor, negligent in reaching out to all classes of people, all ages, all races, all social and economic levels, in my endeavor to get the word of God out to all the world? Are we as a congregation as concerned about mission work, our missionaries overseas working with the foreigners, as they are with our home needs? When we look at our mission endeavors, they're in Nigeria, India, Nepal, Myanmar, Congo, Tanzania, Zambia, Kenya, Zimbabwe, to name just a few. Are we praying for and supporting Emmanuel in College as much as we should? Because from there, we receive pastors and teachers that go out in our name to proclaim the gospel to the people in the whole world. These are just a few questions that we need to ask ourselves individually and as a congregation. And for our past failures, we lay our sins upon Jesus for forgiveness. And for the future, look to that same Savior for the zeal and the desire and the eagerness to speak the gospel message to everybody. Secondly, we see that Antioch was a congregation with a ministry for all. In the middle verses of our text, we see that Paul and Barnabas spent a whole year ministering to this congregation. It was a growing church not only in numbers, but a growing church in ministering to each other, in service to one another. And so we need to ask ourselves, is ours a congregation where we minister to everybody here? Are we as concerned with the elderly in our congregation as we are with the youth? Are we as concerned with the individual as we are with the family? Are we as concerned with the inactive members as we are with the active members in our congregation? Is ours a congregation that's well-rounded? In other words, we have activities and activities for all people, all ages. Here again, we need to ask ourselves the question, if not, why not? And what can I do about it? Am I supporting the congregation in all their affairs, in all their activities, with my prayers, my efforts, my time, my energy? Am I involved by coming to Bible classes and evangelism classes? Or am I doing nothing but just simply coming on Sunday morning and then going home? Or am I one of those that says and complains, there's nothing going on around here, and they're not doing anything about it? Or worse, am I one that doesn't even care if there's nothing going on around here? Here again, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us for our inactivity, to forgive us for our lack of desire to serve one another, to minister to each other, and to ask for the zeal and the encouragement to minister to each other. You know the reason why Antioch was a model congregation, model Christian congregation? Because they heard, they learned, and they believed the word of God and were filled with love. It's our third point. They're a congregation with a heart for all. In the last verses of our text, we're told that they reached out, everyone according to his own ability, to the brothers and sisters in Judea who are suffering from a severe famine. And then he sent their offerings with Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, to the Judea area, to share their goods with people they probably never even saw before, never even knew. But they knew that they were blood brothers in Christ. So once again, we need to ask ourselves, is our congregation one who not only talks about loving Jesus, but shows it? In other words, doesn't just talk the talk, but walks the walk. Do we practice our Christian love in our relationships with myself as pastor and you as members? Christian relationship between members and members with each other. Our Christian love as members with our church council people, with our Sunday school teachers, with our church organists. Do we show Christian love to those who are visitors the first time in church, going up to them and greeting them and welcoming them, or to our new members, saying hi to them, telling them your name, praying for them? Do we show that kind of same kind of love that Jesus showed to us in love to strangers? Again, we pray the Holy Spirit fill us with activity, as we saw yesterday, thanks to all those who worked yesterday in Spring Work Day. Love one another, showing that love to each other by greeting each other, praying for one another, taking that individual we know of that's maybe at a loss, going through suffering, grief, need, sorrow, to the Lord in prayer. Asking the Lord to fill our hearts with that same zeal and desire that Christ had for us, for one another. Only with a continued hearing of the Word of God can we be a model Christian congregation like Antioch. So the power of the Holy Spirit, so that what we do and what we say rebounds to the glory of God for the welfare of souls. A congregation of fellow believers eager to come to hear God's word regularly and consistently. A congregation of believers willing to come an hour early for Bible class and Sunday school. A congregation of believers desires to come as often as possible to receive the Lord's Supper for the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of all of our faith. A congregation of believers supporting the teaching of our young in our Sunday school and their desire to start our preschool and praying that we once again can establish our Christian day school. A congregation of believers that shows their love for their Savior by giving of their offerings, giving of their time and their effort to spread the gospel. A congregation of believers that shows their love for their Savior by keeping up the grounds of the church and school, as we saw yesterday. A congregation of believers who individually and personally speaks to others and tells them Jesus did die for you. But first he lived perfectly for you. Then he paid for your sins. And then he rose from the dead. And then telling them, come, hear more about him. Come to church on Sunday. You can hear more about that beloved Savior Jesus and what he did for you. A congregation of believers who readily admits by ourselves, we're lost and condemned. We can't stand before our God and expect any honor, any merit of our own. We're lost and condemned before our Savior, but we can stand readily admitting that we are redeemed sinners, blood bought by our Savior's shed blood, and bask in the joy of his resurrection, knowing that we too will be resurrected to everlasting life, and that the power of the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and it'll be evident in our fruits of faith. May that be the blessed example of how the world sees us here at Peace Through Christ. As an example of a model Christian congregation. And may this wondrous results be through the Spirit's influence upon us and upon our hearts through his word.
We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.